today. Our primary text is Mark 7, verses 24 to the end, verse 37. And then I'm going to read the parallel account in the Gospel of Matthew, found in Matthew 15. And that'll be verses 21 through 28. So starting with Mark 7, 24, and if you want to put a finger in Matthew 15, starting with verse 21, our title of our sermon today is Keep Seeking the Lord. So again, let's give our reverent attention to God's Word. Mark 7, verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the midst of the region of Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee. And then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." Immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our ears, open up our eyes, that you would open our minds to receive your teaching at all times. And so, Lord, bless us through this text. And we pray, Lord, you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word for your glory and for our blessing. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to also read from Matthew 15. Again, this is a parallel passage of the first part of our text. So starting with verse 21 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." And he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Coming to Christ is not always easy. And for those of us who came to faith perhaps later in life, many of us would have this as part of our testimony. It often involves a great anxiety, indeed brokenness of our heart, our emotions, and involves persevering and beseeching the Lord to hear us, to answer us, and to grant His mercy before we really realize it. It's not always immediate. And there are two aspects of persevering in these scriptures read before you. One of a parent interceding for her child. And the second, waiting upon the Lord to bless in degrees, and not necessarily all at once. And so the first point today, the interceding for your children and others in your family as well as outside of your family, we have, I'm going to focus more on the Syrophoenician woman than the mute man, but this Syrophoenician woman is a woman of faith, but a Gentile. In Matthew's account, it says she's a Canaanite. And Mark just says she's a Syrophoenician. She is a Gentile of either stripe, but indeed we know the Canaanites, they were really called to be wiped out. Of course, not all of them were wiped out. In fact, one of the disciples was a Canaanite. And if that surprises you, go look up the names of the disciples, and you will find that. But this woman, she resides in the region we would call today Lebanon, southern Lebanon. And obviously, it is so clear to us that she loved her child. She truly did and had a burden for her daughter of whatever age she was, who was demon-possessed. In fact, Matthew says, she says, you know, greatly demon-possessed. And remember, I've said prior when we were talking about demon possession, that only happens to the unconverted, if it does happen to them at all. The believers are not demon-possessed. They cannot be demon-possessed. But if someone is demon-possessed, that means they are not in the faith. And so, as we think of not just a demon, someone demon possessed, but someone who is unconverted, they, in the reality, are dead in their sins and their trespasses. They're in the bondage to sin. And we would say, theologically correctly, they are in bondage to Satan. In some way, maybe not to the degree, the highest degree would be someone who is demon possessed. But it is true nonetheless, even in our day, someone who is not converted, they do not serve God. Therefore, if they serve themselves, they would serve the devil. But here is a reminder through this woman of our responsibilities as Christians, as Christian parents even, as members of the covenant to pray and pray. And continue to pray and make intercession for our children, regardless of their age. Indeed, we must order our household to serve the Lord. This woman of faith in our narrative, who has no name given to us, is concerned about her daughter. She wants her daughter to be healed of the demon possession. And I would say this is not really to be looked at as a physical healing, although there's physical ramifications often in demon possession, but it is a spiritual healing. Since her daughter's demon possessed, she is in that bondage, and she must be freed from that bondage. And of course, like the mother, any parent would desire that their child would come to faith. Now, let me be clear here that what happens to the daughter is that she is freed from the demon. I would say that as a spiritual healing, but it doesn't mean that she's converted. But that is the end, is it not? We do want our children to be free from diseases, some medical ailment. Ultimately, we want them free in Christ, walking in the Lord. And so I speak to many of you mothers and fathers, and I know some of you are not mothers and fathers yet. Some of you have children walking in the Lord, and praise the Lord for that. But we should share that burden, whether it be for our own children or whether it be for others. We want people freed from the bondage of sin, and we know sin abounds in people's lives, in our culture. We're reminded of that every moment as we look around. But what if our children are not even flourishing in the Lord, yet they are in the Lord? We seek for blessing to them as well. We seek for them to honor in their conduct as well as in their worship the Lord God. To know Him, to really intimately know Him and to enjoy Him. We don't want people to simply go through the motions of faith, but to be active in the faith. Because if people profess Christ, if they're not flourishing in the faith, what is happening? What is really happening? And so we should not look at this incident of the demon possession like we would as like leprosy, or maybe someone who is epileptic, or somebody with a withered arm, or like the second half, somebody who cannot hear or see, but see it really as the alienation from God. That is the chief burden that we all have. Indeed, this daughter, as always, should surrender to a greater master, which is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to walk in the paths of Christ, and so they be freed by His blood. And so we pray, and the greatest burden should indeed be your immediate relations. It could be a spouse. It could be a child, as we were praying Thursday night for a child who is in his mid-20s, and yet he is not in the Lord. He's struggling in life. Doesn't mean if you come to faith you don't struggle, but he's struggling most of all because he has spurned God, does not regard God. He is an alien. So it is our burden to train our children the way that they should go, to teach them the truth of the covenant. And indeed, Joshua's vow at the end of the book of Joshua is our vow as we take membership. As for me and my household, he said very succinctly, we will serve the Lord. But here we see that Christ does intercede for the sinner. Sinners must be aware of their need for a Savior. Here we have the parent seeing the need for the Savior, a parent of faith and coming to the Lord on behalf of her daughter. And certainly, I'm sure this daughter was taught about the true Lord, who is the God of Israel. Indeed, although this girl was taught that, she has not yet embraced it. And so we find that Jesus is having compassion. But it is really kind of directed, the focus is the mom of faith. And so let's consider, let's keep these things in mind as I just share them with you, as we go further into the text to help explain that what really seems like a strange response of our Savior And this is an unusual interaction here. So notice this one, she takes her daughter's affliction as her own. Take mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And then she talks about her daughter. She addresses Jesus three times. Now, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, our future apostles, they're irritated. They want her to go away and tell the master, tell her to get lost. So, brethren, just right there, we need to pause and take note. You should never express annoyance at anyone coming to the Lord or despise their presence in the church. Because that mentality, let me ask the question, is it of Christ? And you know the immediate answer is no. Then what is that mentality of? The devil. The devil who does not want you to practice Psalm 133. The devil who wants you to split, to divide. To be hypercritical, to complain about one another, especially the new people coming in. The people that don't look like you. Maybe the smelly, unbathed homeless person who comes through the door. Perhaps it's somebody who doesn't wear your clothes. Perhaps somebody who obviously doesn't look at all like your background. This attitude does not serve Christ. Let us be convicted. When it comes to our mind, let us not speak it. If we speak it, let us repent and repent openly. Now, Jesus ignores her at first. And this is what seems so strange. I mean, we know the disciples that they're struggling with sin like you and I. We can write that off and say shame on them. But the Lord, he's ignoring her. He doesn't answer at first. But she keeps coming to him. She's adamant, very reverent. And so Jesus ignores her first and rebuffs her second petition. And this might seem like an insult when he says, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And so he's talking about his gifts and his healing, his miracles. You know, in some places he won't do miracles because of unbelief. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. I mean, the implication is pretty obvious. I'm dealing with my children. You're just but a dog. You're like a little dog. In other words, Jesus is saying, and he says it in our text, no, Jesus is the Savior for Israel, the Jews. This is the fulfillment of Scripture, of the promises to Abraham and to David. And the Syrophoenician woman is a Gentile. She's outside of the family line of and the covenant line of Abraham. There is no sign of circumcision on her husband's part or of his family. Her family is not bringing a yearly sacrifice that we know to Jerusalem. And so we would rightly assess, you know, it's just an objective statement, she's a pagan. But look at Christ's response. Christ is saying by his strong language that he fulfills the blessing meant for the covenant people, the house of Israel. And so when you read about the blessings in the book of Psalms, understand it is to all who are of faith. But we know that because Israel has an expansive meaning. Israel is not all Israel. Not all Jews are Jews. True Jew is one inwardly, not outwardly. But Jesus is emphasizing, in many ways, the outward. Of course, we know he wants people of faith. But take note how the woman addresses Jesus. Now, this would be in the Matthew 15 passage, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." She recognizes Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, as Lord, fulfillment of the promise that the Son of David is the Messiah. And so far in Mark, where have you heard that from a Jew? Any Jew? See, the Holy Spirit's highlighting that this Gentile woman has a greater profession of faith of who the Lord Jesus is than the Jews in Israel. How can that be? She has greater faith. A more simple faith. Sometimes a simple faith is a greater faith. And so many of the Jews did not even come to this point yet. Many will, but she early on is recognizing this. And she knows that the Lord is a God of mercy, a God of salvation, a God of healing. She has reason to hope because of her faith in Jesus of Nazareth. She knows he is Lord, and she has faith in him. And she will continue to plead with the Lord and be not discouraged, even at the very words of the Lord. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And she's not discouraged by the disciples, but she probably pays them no mind. And this Canaanite woman, is approaching the Savior, and she wants his time and just as far as his attention to respond to her. Now, understand, of course, the Lord does respond. And he commends her faith. And he declares, as you desire. Your daughter's healed, as you desire. But notice that there's a pattern in Scripture when somebody strong in faith comes to the Lord, and often is a Gentile. Well, we'll later hear about a centurion doing this. And pleading on behalf of another, whether it be a servant or a child who's sick, demon-possessed, near death. And the Lord says they are healed, and yet they are miles away. They believe it. They don't have to see it to believe it. Because they believe in the Lord because of the strength of their faith and first coming to the Lord and making their petition known. And so the Lord reminds this woman that she, as a Gentile, she is like a dog. She's not the first. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is not my first priority in ministry, but she understood. See, she understood more than the disciples. She understood exactly what the Lord Jesus was saying to her. She knew she was not of the line of Abraham. But she knew that the Savior is the Savior of the world, not just to the Jews. Otherwise, she should have just packed up and walked away. But she continued because of her knowledge and understanding, informed by her faith. And she knew, yes, Lord, the little dogs in the house, the family dog, does dwell underneath the table, though. And the dogs do pick up the crumbs, the food scraps that fall from the table, and it happens at all houses. Of course, we with dogs see the opportunists that dogs are. They will snatch any food. This is why I tell visitors when they're at our house and they want to take the food to the porch, and especially those 3-year-olds that, you're not going to hold that plate high enough because the dog's going to get it. It's an opportunity that will take it. And we don't get upset because that's the nature of dogs. And so the woman is acknowledging that fact. But Lord, even the food meant for humans does come down to the dogs, some of it. Lord, there's you can extend mercy to my family still. You are the Savior of Israel. And you are here to heal the sick and to teach the wayward in Israel. But I know by my faith, by my experience, that you are a merciful God. And that mercy can come to my household as well. And so we should be remember these things as we pray to the Lord. He doesn't have, like your printer, like a certain volume of ink. His mercies are unlimited. There's not a number. There's a number of people written in the book of life, indeed. But it is like the sand on the seashore or the stars in heaven. Even if man has existed for thousands of years, you think it might be easier to count the stars and the sands, the grains of sands, but we still don't know. We'll never know. Unlimited is the abundance and opportunity to receive mercy and grace from the Lord, whether it be a physical healing or whether it be spiritual healing. This one believes, and although originally not part of the covenant family of Abraham, as I said, she comes to the Lord because he is her Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, we are to intercede. We are to make prayer for all. Does not Timothy tell us that? All people. People in high authority. People we know. People we don't know. But we place our hope in the Lord as we pray in the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. And so as I was preaching last week, prayer prevails. Saints, this woman's an excellent example of that prevailing. And as a godly parent, she's prevailing on behalf of her child. See, the child cannot heal herself, can she? The mother cannot heal the child, but the Lord can. Instead, he will and has done. And so the Lord finally responds to this woman. And although she's no better than a dog, and let's pause right here. It was not an insult. Because, friends, you're a dog too. If Job said, and he's really prophesying of Christ, I am not a man, but a worm. Christ was low. He was brought low because he suffered on our behalf. But you and I, standing alone, because of our sin, we are a dog. We're an unclean, vicious thing. And so it's not an insult. It's a reality. But he addresses her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And so, although Jesus' love for this woman was veiled in many ways in his first interactions or ignoring of her, he really was getting her to manifest this great degree of faith in her profession as, "O Lord, Son of David," and her confidence of faith in him. And she commences it. "Let it be as you desire." Sometimes he said, "According to your faith." So her faith desired good for her daughter, and because of that, her daughter received good. And so she persevered with the Lord in seeking mercy. She persevered in her faith, which was mighty as well as active. A great lesson for you and I. And so she goes home and finds her daughter healed from the demon possession. A wonderful, wonderful work of the Lord. And then so sometimes we have, like I said, a very public healing, and sometimes we have more of a private healing. And of course, our second part of the healing of the man who is has a speech impediment and who is deaf, it is more of a private healing. Jesus takes him away from the crowd. The Lord didn't always have to have that done, and we saw this in an earlier passage where Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee again and goes to a place where there's a Gentile who is demon-possessed, dwelling with the pigs. And it was a very private healing, but which was later very publicly known. Let me just emphasize our second point in persevering under the effects of the fall. Jesus never expressed indifference to sin. And so when we read this account, his silence, we should not interpret it as indifference. But he is very mindful of sin in people's lives and suffering in your life as well. Everyone's life. He's a man fully. He is righteous absolutely. And he is affected by the suffering. It's heavy upon him. And this underscores his compassion. He is most sympathetic as our Savior. We should always see this in his healings. And his miracles were not a mere show of his power or of his authority to relieve the handicapped, the sick, or even those who are dying or even have died. But this is one of his burdens in his ministry. So remember, not all were healed. Not all responded to him that were healed. Again, this daughter is a mystery. We would like to find out in heaven, did she come to faith? But what is emphasized, as I said, is the mother's faith and Jesus' sympathy towards her, because she is one of his daughters of the covenant. And so Jesus is very sympathetic to the broken sinner. And so we must emphasize this when we're evangelizing and when we're witnessing. When someone says, oh, no one cares about me. Yes, the Lord does. And the Lord has called you. He has called all to himself. And you must respond. And we can underscore with passages like this. And so, even though this woman might have had crumbs, they were crumbs worthy enough to bring great blessing to her and her household. Now, Jesus has this healing of this man from a Gentile region. Again, a great work of mercy is demonstrated here. The Savior in his perfect compassion towards even the fallen. He shows that he will bring forth healing. Because the Lord Jesus, and of course the Lord God our Father, and the God of the Holy Spirit is all, they're all compassionate. There's one God. And so the character of God is the same. Predisposed to do good to those who come to him. And we must come to him aright. So the Lord always has a burden for his people he loves. And we could go at length. And this is why you should read the Psalms. Not just sing the Psalms, but read the Psalms. And this is underscored so well. Remember, Jesus literally moves heaven and earth to bless his people. And he literally gave his life to bless you. Now remember that the focus of God's blessing is not your job. It is not your relationships. It is not your income. It's not your retirement account. That is not the focus of God's favor upon you. Because we all have different circumstances, and we know that we can have great blessings in any of those areas, and they can change overnight. And that does not mean when they do change that you have lost God's love or favor. So that's not the basis of your relationship with the Lord. But the essence of your relationship with the Lord is communing with him, to walking in his ways, to rejoicing in him and worshiping him, regardless of your circumstance. and sometimes especially in light of your circumstance. He will provide. And sometimes the Lord's provision is a hard providence. It can be a very hard job, a very demanding boss, very low income. You're just scraping to get along in life. You might have a very difficult relationship. There are believers who are married to unbelievers. And that can be very, very often is more difficult than anything else. The Lord knows of your troubles. But, and still, like the Syrophoenician woman in your distress, do you seek the Lord? Do you have confidence in the Lord? Do you wait patiently upon the Lord? Now, how wonderful is the testimony of faith of believers who are blind, who are restricted to a wheelchair, or may have been abandoned by a spouse, or suffered some form of child abuse. And yet they will still love the Lord, because they will not allow themselves to think ill of the great and mighty God, even though there is evil in their life. They know of Christ's burden and love for them. They know of their eternal inheritance, and they will persevere in the Lord, because there is blessing to be gotten by the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, negative circumstances shall not discourage you. And if you're not in faith, do not allow your negative circumstance, and you have some negative circumstance, surely, but seek the Lord, the fullness of God, not just to provide you with income and to give you a spouse or 20 children, whatever is your desire, but to give you Himself, to know Him and to delight in Him. And He'll provide for your needs. Now, the last point is on healing that comes from forgiveness of sin. Let's just read a last part of our text again, verse 32. And then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. Again, the compassion of Christ there. He sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And so, as I mentioned, we were talking about prevailing in prayer last week. And this is so necessary to gain blessing from God. And God sometimes will be silent to you. As one of the Puritans described it, it's like, you know, when you're on the street in the city and the street musician is playing. They always have a hat or a bucket there. And they want you to put money in there. But you want them to play. Because usually they stop playing and say thank you. Yeah, but you want them to play. And so you might delay putting that money in there. God might delay in answering your prayer because He wants you to come vehemently, sincerely, dependently upon Him. And so we are to prevail, but the Lord provides healing. But the greatest healing is of our soul. Now consider it. When we come to the Lord with impatience, do you think the Lord is happy with that prayer? When we come with a half of a heart, do you think, well, that should be good enough for God? Or perhaps we're expecting just things to fall in place. We prayed and we said, okay, make it smooth. Make it all better immediately, Lord. The way I like it. So we often, at least in our minds, maybe not in our words we speak in our prayers, but in our minds, we put demands upon the Lord. This is how you are to do it. And notice this healing. What is He doing? Putting His fingers in the man's ears. He just said, be healed. Just touch the ear. That's all. He takes him aside. How come he doesn't do it publicly? I mean, it's just, this is, just like with the woman, this is out of the ordinary. And we do we despise the Lord because he will do something out of the ordinary? Yet he still heals the man, doesn't he? I mean, exactly why he does it this way, I do not know, to be honest. But we have to be patient upon the Lord. And it didn't come all at once. In their place, someone will find that, you know, it's like a partial healing. The man's blind. So what do you see? I see like men walking like trees. It's like, well, that's a little bit better, but not good enough. But the Lord gets there. And so we sometimes have to be patient upon the Lord for that healing. Psalm 40, verse 1, I always love, you know, I waited patiently upon you. At length to me you did incline my voice and plea to hear. And so the Lord will answer in his own way and in his own time. And can you accept that? Yes, if you have faith. It can be hard. But by faith, you can accept that. And so he heals this man in an unusual way, but he gets there. So God's grace and love is going to be manifested towards people. Sometimes it's very gradually. And when it's gradual, we say it's too slow. But the goodness of the Lord is still there. And maybe he'll say, I'm going to grant you the grace to deal with this. Instead of healing you, like he said to Paul, who was afflicted in the flesh, I'm going to give you the grace to deal with this, Paul. I'm not going to take that thorn away from you. It's going to help you keep humble as you need. But you're going to have grace to deal with that, even though it's going to hurt day after day. But brothers and sisters, the greatest and deepest healing is for our soul. As I said, we are already dead in our trespasses and sins when we come out of the womb. Unless you're converted in the womb, which happens. Even though we have a heart that beats, it's a heart of stone, God says. You need intervention of the Lord to give you that heart of faith and for your spirit to be moved. Now remember, as I said this before, and I think it bears repeating as it goes through the Gospels, think of every single person who was healed in the Gospels. Doesn't matter what other reflection, especially those who were healed from the dead, like Lazarus. You know what happened later? They all died of some disease, of some ailment, some accident, violence. They all died. So healing is not the end goal. It could be a great blessing, but it lasts really only for a moment of eternity. But to be right with God is the greater need. To go to Jesus not as simply the healer, but as my Savior. And not to do that once, but continually. So we are to continually ask for forgiveness. That means you continually confess your sins. And brothers and sisters, here's a challenge. If I asked you, if after church I go up to you personally and ask you, I won't do this, don't worry, because everyone's afraid of this. What specific sin have you confessed in this last week? We all say we need to confess sins. But when pushed against the wall, what specific sin have you confessed? See, we need to confess specific sins to a specific Savior to receive specific forgiveness. And yes, you have to do that continually, even though Christ paid for it all in the past. That's part of your sanctification. Healing comes foremostly to our heart and soul, and that is guaranteed to all who are in faith. As you grow older, I'm learning this more and more, you may get ailments that don't go away, that increase in intensity. We do pray. We've been praying for our elder Bob, and we pray that the cancer is defeated. But we know it can come back. He knows that. It can be another ailment. And any of us can get cancer or some ailment anytime. Seek that healing of your soul first. Charles Simeon comments on this text. He says, should we make our infirmities a reason for continuing far from him? Should we not rather take occasion from them to plead with him more earnestly? And would not he rejoice in manifesting his power and love towards us. Let everyone that apply to him in humility and faith, no disorders, however complicated, shall be able to withstand his will. Great quote there. So a spiritual truth is given here. We cannot hear the Lord's message and respond positively unless the Lord opens our hearts. Indeed, this man is healed, but does he rejoice in the Lord? People rejoice over the healing, but does this man rejoice? And when the people rejoice in the healing, was it just because it's a great show? Or do they already have saving faith in the Lord? So we should not read about the Lord afar off, but when we read the scriptures, and all scriptures point us to the Lord, we should draw close to the Lord, engage the Lord, and be encouraged by what we read in scripture, whether it be healing of someone's blind or someone who's sick of some element. It underscores the power of God. And these miracles are to underscore, look, you can see with your eyes. Miraculous healing. Therefore, you are to be encouraged because you saw with your eyes that Jesus can heal your heart. That's the greater. Now, you and I don't see these miracles. We read them. But you know they happen because you have faith. And you have faith to believe that. Have faith when you go to them for the burdens of your souls, the complexities of your sin patterns. And this is where resistance. Usually when people are really hurting, they'll say, 911, get me to the hospital. But that's not always the case when somebody is stuck in their sin. Even Christians. But we can't go to the hospital for our sins. We can only go to Christ, our Savior. Let us go to him now. Heavenly Father, we do seek, Lord, for us to be sincere. For us to be humble. And again, like a child, that we would flee to our Savior. That we would lay all of our needs and petitions before the feet of your throne, knowing that we are at a throne of grace. And Lord, may we have faith that the Lord can move mountains if he so wishes. But Lord, you will do your will, and we must accept your will. But Lord, may we first accept you fully and rejoice in you. Give us that greater faith. Give the gift of faith for any who are afar from you. Those who are hesitating. Lord, draw them by your irresistible grace and the power of your Spirit and the testimony of your word. Even this word that was brought to us today. For your glory we do pray. And for the needs of our soul, we do pray. Amen.